Our reading today is from Acts 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a young servant woman who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days, until Paul became so upset that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." The spirit went out of her at that very moment. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. They brought them to the Roman officials and said, "These men are Jews, and they are causing trouble in our city. They are teaching customs that are against our law. We are Roman citizens, and we cannot accept these customs or practice them." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer ordered them to lock up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them.
So today's story, in case you haven't guessed it, is all about being set free, and perhaps also considering who has the keys to freedom. Okay. Now, if you remember from our reading, Paul and Silas are in trouble.
The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood.
So, the crowd are attacking Paul and Silas. The officials are tearing their clothes, tearing them off them and ordering them to be whipped. And the officials are telling the jailer to put them in jail. Not just in any jail, but in the deepest cell, the darkest dungeon. And as you can see, their feet are fastened and locked in stocks. So look at the pictures. And who is free? Is it the jailer or is it Paul and Silas? Talk to the person next to you or around you. Who is free? Is it the jailer or is it Paul and Silas? What do we reckon? Just a couple of seconds. And then we'll do this with a show of hands. Hands up if you think the jailer's free. We'll draw the conversations to a halt. Hands up if you think the jailer's free. Okay. Hands up if you think Paul and Silas are free. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Hands up if you're not really sure. Hands up if you've got perhaps several scenarios in your mind and thinking, well, it could be this if you think of it this way, or it could be that if you think of it this way, or it could be that. Yeah, okay, right. So those people are way ahead of where we're going with this talk. So just run with me on this, okay? So the jailer holds the keys. He holds the keys to lock up Paul and Silas and to take away their freedom. What's more, as he's holding the keys, he's free to come and go as he pleases. He's got the keys. Maybe he'll go home tonight to his wife and his kids and perhaps have a meal. And then he'll come back and just check that everybody's okay, the prisoners are okay. Because after all, he's the one that's got the keys. He can lock them up. He can go and come as he please. And also, the jailer's got all the authorities and all the local people behind him, because it's under their orders that the jailer's got the authority to lock up Paul and Silas. For Paul and Silas, the jailer's keys have taken away their freedom. They're locked behind bars. They're locked into stocks. They can barely move. They've lost their freedom. They're not free to come and go as they please. They've lost their freedom to walk into the town. They've lost, seemingly, their freedom to talk about Jesus as they had been doing. They certainly don't have the keys to set themselves free. So it's not looking good for Paul and Silas. But as we've heard, at midnight, they're not asleep like most people would be. They're not sulking and moaning about their situation like most people would be. No, they're praising God and praying.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God.
And the other thing that we hear from the passage is that the other prisoners were listening to them.
Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once, all the doors opened and the chains fell off all the prisoners.
Now, if you were in their shoes, what would you do? Talk to the person next to you. What would you do? Earthquake, a chance to be free. What are you going to do? Okay, let's do a little survey here. Hands up, all of you that would make a run for it. That's quite a lot of you. Hands up, those of you that would stay there. That's not any. Oh, maybe there's one perhaps at the back there. Yeah, so a couple around. Okay, again, there may be various reasons for that. Just hold on to those thoughts for yourself. Well, a lot of you said that you'd do a runner. You'd go for the escape. The walls have come tumbling down. And you're not the only ones to have thought that recently. In 2010, there was a large earthquake in Haiti. And the earthquake caused the prison buildings of the main prison to fall down. And the prisoners all escaped. They all escaped during the earthquake on Haiti. How many do you think escaped? Give me a figure. Yell out a figure. 500 I've got there. It's higher than 500. 10,000 is lower than 10,000. Do you feel a game coming on here? Higher. Like, Bruce would be proud, wouldn't he? 2,000. It's guess what the number is in my head, really. Shall I put you out of your misery? It's 4,000. So 4,000 prisoners escaped on the island of Haiti because of the earthquake. Now, how do you think those prisoners would feel? How would you feel if you escaped? Happy? Yeah? Oh, we're free! Woohoo! Off we go. But here's the question. When Haiti had recovered from its earthquake, they rebuilt the prison. And all those prisoners that were free, they started to round up again. So were they really free? Because even if they were free, they knew that the authorities were coming for them. So they were looking over their shoulder all the time to check whether they were there. So they still had to pay for their crimes. They still were wanted men and women with a debt to pay. Anyway, back to the Bible story. And the jailer certainly thought that the prisoners were going to escape.
The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped.
So what's he going to do? Run after them? Sound the alarm? Call other guards? Go to the officials and report what's happened? Nope, none of those. The story continues.
So he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself.
He was about to kill himself. He was about to kill himself. It's a bit drastic. He's the one with the freedom, and yet he's about to kill himself. Why is he about to do that? Talk amongst yourselves. Why is he about to kill himself? He's the jailer. He's the one with the keys. Why is he about to kill himself? Okay, any suggestions? I'll tell you then. In those days, he could have been charged with dereliction of duty, not doing his job properly. And so he would be punished by the officials, and he would be forced to do the sentences of the prisoners that had escaped. The very officials that had given him the keys to lock up the prisoners would take those keys away and lock him up. Or even worse, the jailer might be sentenced to death himself. So his situation seems pretty bad as far as he's concerned. And for him, being dead seems a better choice than public humiliation and embarrassment that a possible sentence of death might cause him. He feels trapped, and there's no alternative but to take his own life.
But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas.
The jailer hasn't experienced anything like this before. Paul and Silas and the rest of the prisoners are free from their chains. They can escape at any point. The jailer's keys are useless. Suddenly, the tables have turned. The prisoners are free, and the jailer is on the ground, at their feet, trembling with fear. Just because he has the keys doesn't make him a free man at this point. There's a sense that the jailer is a hostage, a prisoner, to his own fear. Fear of what's going to happen to him at the hands of the officials, and maybe even a fear of Paul and Silas and what it is that Paul and Silas have. After all, he, the jailer, has locked them up, but they've been singing and praying. I wonder what the jailer made of that. Maybe the singing and praying is the key to Paul and Silas's freedom. And now they can escape, but they're choosing not to. And that means that he, the jailer, is still alive. Because if they had escaped, he would have killed himself by now. The jailer clearly recognizes a spiritual power, a freedom in spirit in Paul and Silas. He senses that they can help him in his confusion and in his fear. He senses that they have a freedom that he needs and that he wants. And so
he led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
The jailer has heard Paul and Silas in the jail. Maybe he's heard a little bit about their reputation for preaching about Jesus. And now he's seeing that they have chosen to save his life by not escaping. The jailer recognizes that whilst he has the keys to their cell, Paul and Silas have the actual key to freedom itself. And so he asks, what must he do to be saved?
Paul and Silas answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." Then they preached the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that very hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and he and all his family were baptized at once. Then he took Paul and Silas up into his house and gave them some food to eat. He and his family were filled with joy because they now believed in God.
So Paul and Silas were now free from jail, and the jailer was free from all of his fears. Paul, Silas, and now the jailer had discovered the freedom that comes in knowing Jesus as the key to life. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, then you will be really free." That comes from John chapter 8 and verse 36. Let's say that together. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be really free." John 8, 36. Let's do it again, shall we? "If the Son sets you free, you will be really free. John 8:36. So what about us? You and me. Now, none of us is chained down or padlocked up. We're all free to move around. It was the same for the jailer. He was free to come and go, and he had the keys to the cells. And yet he was chained down and padlocked by his own fears, his worries about what was going to happen to him. The same can be true of us. We can often find ourselves tied up or weighed down, a prisoner to our own fears, worries, or the nature of our frail human character. Maybe we're frightened of failure, worried about money and debts. Perhaps our health is poor. Maybe we've got into some bad company or poor relationships. Maybe we are guilty of lying, or we are selfish, or we're greedy, or we're proud. Maybe we've done things that we shouldn't do. All these things are like chains and padlocks which we try to unlock for ourselves. We try to find the right key. Is more money the right key? What about more success? More power? More popularity? Is that the key? Or qualifications? Maybe good looks? Fame? Celebrity status? But we just don't seem to have the right key to make us really happy, really free. Maybe the only key for some people is to consider, like the jailer, taking their own life. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. Let's do it again. Let's read it. If the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. That's John 8:36. The good news is that Jesus can set you free because he has conquered all fears, including the ultimate fear of death, because he died and rose again for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is the free spirit of the risen Lord Jesus, and he lives in us. We are free. And when you are free, the power of others, or threats from others, or feelings that seem to keep you afraid and anxious, all of a sudden don't seem so big. They don't seem so overwhelming. The jailer, in the end, found the right key. And Jesus is the key. Jesus is the right key, the only key that can unlock the padlocks and chains of our lives and set us free. If the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story of Paul and Silas and the jailer who became free. Thank you for reminding us about what you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you for setting us free through Jesus. And help us to hand things over to you, Lord Jesus, the key to our freedom. Amen.